out and just with this note of celebration and say, praise the Lord, isn't God good? And so just look around. Yeah, go ahead, give him a hand. Amen. So we have several visitors here. Thank you for coming and supporting those that will be baptized today. We have five total that will follow the Lord in baptism. So that'll happen in just a moment. You'll see, well, in just a little while, you'll see me go down the hole here, and that'll be great. And so we are looking forward to it. What a day. This is going to be a day of celebration. So we will have some refreshments right out in the lobby afterward. You can hang out and talk and fellowship and laugh and congratulate those who are entering the family of God in this way. And so we praise God for it. Once again, welcome. And I am Pastor Scott. And nice to meet some of you, some of our visitors. And just welcome to our members. Welcome to the day that the Lord has made. We'll be glad and rejoice in it today. So a few things I want to highlight today, some announcements, and then we will, for those that are new, we normally spotlight or highlight a couple of missions moments, and so we're going to do that. We're going to pray for a couple different areas of the world as we open up in prayer. It is just our small way to look out beyond our walls and to pray for those that are in need. So if you've got a bulletin, you'll see those in the bulletin. And there's also some announcements here that I'll go over really quickly. We've got some graphics here too. So first thing is diaper shower for Jesse and Joanna. All right, yeah. So second bundle of joy, diaper shower. So they'll be collected. Bring in packs of diapers. I know when we had our babies, I would have loved to have been showered with diapers. That would have been amazing. And so they're much needed, so they'll be collecting all sizes. Don't just get one size, right? Coordinate with each other and help that little baby, you know, get the diapers needed through its journey. So they'll be collecting that. That'll go in the youth pastor's office right across the hall in the lobby there. And you can also give to Cindy or see Renee, and they'll help you get those where they need to go. Also, no impact youth meeting tonight. So youth members and parents, don't show up here later tonight. No one will be here. We are having a picnic day this afternoon right after church. We will go to Richardson Road Park, bring a lunch, and we'll have some outdoor games and have some basketballs, pickleball, and things going on there. So that'll be a great time. Youth, are you up for that? Are we ready for that? All right. That was okay. You guys could have done better, youth. You're the youth. Come on. Is that good? Is that good with you? All right. Calendar reminder, Saturday, October 25th, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. is the Ohio Valley District Women's Fall Gathering. Right here we are hosting, so praise God for that. So be in prayer for our worship team, our church, as we host this district event. Should be a great time of worship. I think I'm probably going to be roped in to maybe doing screens, or Caleb's roped in and maybe doing drums. So a couple of us will be here with the ladies. So pray that God's presence would be here for that. Also, Sunday, October 5th, after church, Impact and Children's Ministry will be visiting Kinman Farms Pumpkin Patch. So all students, yeah, all right, there you go. All students and their families are welcome to attend. Cost is $13 a person, which includes a small pumpkin from the field. Listen, I love fall time. I'm just one of those guys. I wish it was fall all year round. I love the pumpkin patch stuff. I love the pumpkin spice stuff. I love getting ready for Thanksgiving, getting ready for the holidays. I love wearing a flannel or a hoodie. I mean, do we have some fall people in here? All right. So now we want to turn our attention. I think I covered everything. Is that about right? Anybody got anything to throw in? Okay. So we're good there. All right. Let us look at our mission spotlight, and we'll open up with prayer with this. So international missions, we're praying for Kosovo. Pray for the start of the children's Bible lessons among the Roma in eastern Kosovo. The children are excited to start again, so please pray for their hearts to absorb the lessons and experience God's love for them. Also locally, we want to look right here in Ohio, in the region here. Pray for God's hand on local city and county elections in Ohio this November. And also we are praying specifically for our missionaries, actually some of our very own right here, Zach and Julie Stutler, as they have just retired from the field I don't know what retirement means as a Christ follower. I don't think that's kind of a bad word, right? We don't really retire. I had an old pastor that said, we don't retire, we refire. And so we will put Zach and Julie to work. They're not going to retire. But they are on home assignment. They're doing tours, and so they're in and out of our community, and they're sharing the good work that's been going on in Mexico. So let's pray for a successful home assignment, a period for them, and for a permanent location for the Solares campus and other new church plants in central Mexico. All right, would you bow your head with me? And let's go to the Lord in prayer as we open up this service. Father, we thank you. We rejoice in you today because you are good. You are holy. You are just. You are righteous. And you are loving. In fact, your love and mercy never fail. They always endure. And here we stand in the new mercies of today. And we rejoice because we are united to Christ. And today we are just reminded of that, Lord, that we will be celebrating those that will be united to Christ in baptism, and we join with them to renew our commitment and to remember our own baptism and to continue to follow you, Lord. So thank you for this opportunity to worship together as the body of Christ. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just come and invade our gathering. Lord, I pray that all those that have come today may be impacted by the demonstration of the gospel as it's shown in baptism. I pray that your Spirit would just hover over this place, that your anointing would rest here, and that you would touch every heart. Every person brings their own unique journey and their own unique trials and challenges. You know them. You love them. And I pray that their hearts may be strengthened and lifted today. So would you minister to this group of people? Holy Spirit, we need you. It's not by our power, it's not by our strength, but by your Spirit, O God. So we call on you today as children, as needy children. We need you, Father. Would you come in such a powerful way? Lord, we want to also lift up these spotlights here, International Missions for Kosovo. We pray for the children's Bible lessons that will happen there. We pray for your power and Spirit to be at work and for you to draw these children to yourself. Lord, we also pray locally for the upcoming elections and county and city elections in Ohio. We pray, Lord, that your hand would guide them and govern them. And Lord, we remember the Lord's prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done. And so this includes every sphere of life, politically, economically, in the church, every area, Lord, may your kingdom come and rest on us and change us. Lord, we pray for our missionaries, Zach and Julie Stutler, who have served you for many, many years, both in the Dominican Republic and in Mexico. And we pray for this work, this church, and the community of churches there in Mexico. And we pray that you would give them a permanent home, that you would bless them, and Lord, that you would continue to guide the speaking engagements and the tour that they have here in the States. May you bless them and pour out your Spirit on them in a new way. We thank you for this. Be with us today, every part of our service, Lord, all for your glory. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up and the choir to come on up. And I'd just like you to give this choir and worship team a hand, guys. So, and while I'm at it, because they don't get enough recognition, let me just give a shout out to our sound guys, our video guys that are in the back corner there. Yeah. It's been said that you don't ever notice them until something goes wrong, but they keep it running smoothly, and we're so thankful for them. So thank you all for that. And I'm just going to ask you, if you're willing and able to stand. Here we have a diverse community, so we have people from all different traditions and backgrounds. So that means as we express worship, you may see different expressions of worship. You'll see people raise their hands, you'll see people clap, you'll see people bow their head in quiet reflection. Whatever that looks like for you, I just want you with your heart, mind, and soul to engage with the Lord today, and let's worship Him as they lead us.
To this way. Creation suddenly articulates. was a wretch. I remember who I was. I was lost. I was blind. I was running out of time. Sin separated. The breach was far too wide. From the far side of the chasm, you had me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owe. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. Inside my tomb of sin, you were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glory. Stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood. The blood. It causes sons and daughters. We are ransomed by our Father through the blood. The blood. And there is nothing stronger.
Time, just sing that out. Sing that out. Let's worship.
Glory to His name. There to my heart was the
God. Praise God. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, God, for your presence. We praise you, Lord, for your spirit. We praise you for your love. We thank you, God, for just what you're doing in this community, what you're doing in this church, what you're doing in the lives of your people. We rejoice, Lord. We rejoice. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God of Florence Alliance Church. Blessed be your name, O Lord. One more time, just give the Lord a big hand. Amen. All right. You can be seated for a moment. At this time, I'm going to ask CJ if she'll go ahead and come up. Oh, she's already ready. Look, she's ahead of me. All right. She's going to do our scripture reading today. And just really quick, because for those that are longtime members here, you will know that most of our people, especially our core people and our worker bees, will just shy away from any recognition. But as we bring people up here to read scripture, and I want to say, CJ, I'm so grateful for your presence in this church. And I'm so grateful for the blessing you've been to me and my family. And she does just about everything here, but she's also the director of our ESL ministry and doing a fantastic job with that. And she has the heart of Christ, and I so appreciate that. So would you give CJ a hand? Yeah.
Well, it's my privilege, and I do it with many other people. I'm going to read from Romans 6. 2-11. This is the paraphrase from the Message. So Romans 6. If we've left the country where sin is sovereign, how can we still live in our old house there? We packed up and left there for good. That is what happened in baptism. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind. And when we came up out of the water, we entered into the new country of grace, a new life in a new land. That's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we are lowered into the water, it is like the burial of Jesus. When we are raised up out of the water, it is like the resurrection of Jesus. Each of us is raised into a light-filled world by our Father so that we can see where we're going in our new grace-sovereign country. Could it be any clearer? Our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Christ, a decisive end to that sin-miserable life, no longer captive to sin's demands. What we believe is this. If we get included in Christ's sin-conquering death, we also get included in his life-saving resurrection. We know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a signal of the end of death as the end. Never again will death have the last word. When Jesus died, he took sin down with him, but alive he brings God down to us. From now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you. God speaks your mother tongue, and you hang on every word. You are dead to sin and alive to God. That's what Jesus did.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Thank you, CJ. Thank you. Well, this is the word of God, and we believe it. Amen? Yes. All right. I'm going to have her remain up here. I'm going to call our children up, grades 5 and under. So come on up. They're getting ready to be dismissed to class. And every Sunday, we highlight our kids, and we just acknowledge them. You've heard me say this over and over, but equal members of the church of today, not just tomorrow. And God is at work in these young hearts, revealing himself. So we want to recognize them and pray over their class today as they're dismissed. So I'm going to ask CJ just to say a prayer, and as she does, I'll ask the church to stretch your hands this way and help us pray over them.
Lord Jesus, many years ago, you invited the children to come to you. You gathered them on your knees and you blessed them, and we ask for that blessing today. Lord, open their ears. May they have soft hearts to hear. We pray for their teacher, for all the teachers involved, that you would bless them in their preparations for their sacrifice of time and their love. We ask for a really sweet time together as a class. In Jesus' name, we ask this. Amen.
Amen. All right, you're dismissed, kids. Thank you. Thank you, CJ. Yeah, I got it. Thank you. All right. Well, just the way that this is going to go, just so I can give you some brief instructions about where we're going here in this section of our service. So, as you know, Baptism Day, Celebration Day. And so I'm going to give a few brief comments about baptism. I want to share two stories with you and then make a couple of comments from the passage of Romans that she read. And before we do that, we have a special song. And so we have a special song. So thank you, ladies, for helping me out with that.
Singing hallelujah from the morning
I'm seated in the heavens, and my heart can't contain all the praise that I want to give. And my heart can't contain all the praise that I want to give. Now my heart can't contain all the praise that I want to give. 'Cause I was dead, then I met you, and now I live. Inside was dead, then I met you, and now I live. I live, I live. From the morning to the evening, I'll be singing hallelujah for my story.
Good job. Thank you. All right. Before we dive right in here to God's Word, and then we will follow the Lord in baptism as we kind of close out our service. So that'll be our response to God's Word today is participating in baptism. Now, I always say this during baptism, that baptism is not just for the candidates being baptized. It's also for all of us who have already followed the Lord in this way to renew our vows of baptism. So you may have heard the phrase, remember your baptism. And so this is also a renewal, just like you go to a wedding and as you hear the bride and groom recite their vows to one another, it does in a way stir your heart and reawaken those vows in your own heart. And so it is a renewal of that. And so we want to be just mindful of that and be aware that God is calling all of us to continually renew our commitment to Him. And I want to just really quickly, team, if you would back there, go back to a couple of the slides for announcements. I want to highlight something that I didn't get to earlier just really quickly. It's a Thursday morning outreach that our church is beginning. So just really quickly for folks that would like or have an hour free, if you'd like to visit Colonial Heights Assisted Living, pretty much right across the road. I start it this week. Every Thursday morning, I will be there sharing God's Word and having a service with them. And so this past week, we had about 12 residents that came down and heard God's Word, and we got to worship with them and sing with them, and it was such a beautiful time. And so I know that God is going to do a work there, so that is going to be a consistent an outreach. And so they're going to get to know our church, and you know, who knows, maybe we'll start bringing some of them over here. But it'll be a great opportunity for us to minister to a couple of our own that are there, Ed Coy and Kathy Hughes. And I got to see them and reconnect with them. So praise God for that. I wanted to mention that. I forgot to earlier. But be in prayer for this ministry. It is an important ministry. I think that there are times that in America, just in general with our elderly community, sometimes they can be overlooked, taken for granted, and neglected. They are still part of the church, and so I want them to feel that and know God's love in that way. So pray for that. All right, thank you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll jump right into His Word. Would you help me pray? Father, God, as we come before You, we are so grateful and so blessed to be Your people. And Lord, we want to be reminded today of this great commitment to follow Christ. We want to be renewed in our heart, in our soul, in our mind, in our affections. Lord, would You just breathe Your new life in us? And as we see this demonstrated and we see people follow You, Lord, in baptism, may it also renew our own vows that we have renounced the enemy and we are now following Christ. And so, Lord, I pray for Your Spirit as we just spend a few moments in Your Word and we're reminded of what baptism is and what it means and what it represents. Father, I pray that You would just come and bless the preaching and proclamation of Your Word. Bring Your anointing the anointing that we need, the Spirit of God that we need, the presence of God that we need. And Lord, would you touch every heart and every mind and every life in some way through your living word, speak to them, Lord, right where they're at. And may we all draw closer to Jesus today. Lord, I pray for your healing. I pray for hearts that would be lifted up. I pray for those that maybe are sick, that they would receive a touch of healing today. Lord, I pray that you would just minister to your people. Lord, as we gather around your word, may Christ be alive. May your word be alive. And may we have an encounter with you by the Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to share really quickly two stories with you about baptism, and then just a couple of comments on the passage from Romans 6 that CJ read so wonderfully for us. The first one, the first story that I want to remind us of, and you've probably read this or have heard this before, but the story comes from Acts chapter 8, and you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to give you a quick snapshot of what's happening in Acts 8. There's a unique story of baptism there involving Philip the evangelist, Philip part of the early church, and an Ethiopian eunuch that was traveling through a certain area. And so the story goes that in the middle of this great revival that was happening, so if you're a student of Scripture and you've read Scripture and you understand the big story of Scripture, you come to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you see gloriously the life and ministry of Christ. You see God incarnate, God in the flesh, walking among his own people, weeping with them, suffering with them, eventually bleeding and dying for them on the cross. But good news, we know this, the story doesn't end there, right? He doesn't remain on a cross. He doesn't stay buried in a tomb, but 3 days later, he is risen, and he is the conquering king. And so that is the kingdom of God come to earth, that the kingdom of this world and the empires of power and pride and sin are overthrown by the lowly death of a Jewish carpenter that is Jesus Christ. And so he's brought a kingdom into our world. And then we come to Acts 2, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so the veil of the temple is torn in two, and it's to signify now God does not reside in a location. He is not stuck in a temple. You don't have to go to the most holy place to talk with the Father. That now the veil is torn, Christ is now given for his people, the Holy Spirit is now poured out on the church, and this is the start of a new humanity, the start of a new kingdom. The start of people that have been united with Christ in baptism that are now following him. And Philip was one of those ones that God anointed as a preacher of his gospel, sent him off to preach to people. And we get this story of many thousands of people coming to Christ. I mean, there's a revival, Acts 2, right? The Holy Spirit falls, and what does it say? Over 3,000 of them came to the Lord. And not counting others that would follow. And so as the church would continue to grow, God would send out people, apostles and disciples, and there would be little bands of people gathering in homes, breaking bread, praying together, serving the Lord together, and doing great things for the Lord and his kingdom. And Philip is sort of handpicked and plucked out of this great revival, and the Lord sort of supernaturally transports him over to this one location, to one person. And so it's quite amazing to me that in the middle of some giant revival, I mean, the Spirit is being poured out, people are coming to Christ, God is going to tap Philip on the shoulder and say, I've got one man that I want you to go talk to. And so leave these thousands of people. It sounds a lot like another story that Jesus told, that I will leave the 99 to go after the one. And so I want to tell someone today, maybe just one of our baptism candidates, if it was one person today, this would all be worth it. And so if we are reaching one heart, one child, one family, one person, the Lord will move heaven and earth to get to you. So this is the story of the love of God, as the song goes, the reckless love of God that kicks down doors and walls and overthrows all evil powers so that he could find you, cleanse you, forgive you, and transform you. This is the grace of God. Amen? And so, Philip, I've got this obscure man. No one knows his name. In fact, he is just serving in a lowly position. I mean, he's obscure. No one knows him. No one will know him until the scripture's written, and here we are preaching about him in the year 2025. So we have one man that God is concerned about. He sends Philip to him in Acts 8. And so the man, as the story goes, Philip approaches him, and he's sitting there reading the prophet Isaiah. And he's reading from the Old Testament, and he's not quite understanding what he's reading. I need some help with this. Can you help me? I don't understand what I'm reading. And he was reading the portion about the suffering servant. There is one who is going to give his life. There is one that is despised and rejected of men. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, he will give his life. And so, I don't understand this. And Philip, oh yeah, Amen. I'll be glad to read this to you. I'll be glad to help you understand this. So there, Philip starts to preach the gospel to him, starting at the text that he was at. And so let me tell you about this one who is the suffering servant. This one who is the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world, that even when we get to heaven, you will see this imagery, this image of a king that is a lamb with a crown. And it looks as if he has been slain. This is the image of your king. Not a great king ruling with some iron fist, but a king who has come down and wrapped himself in your flesh and blood and has given his life for you. And so he's going to talk to Philip about this, and evidently he understood there to be something about baptism involved in his presentation of the gospel. There is a deeper union or identification with Christ, and so the response of Philip, and you can go back later and read Acts 8, but the response of the Ethiopian eunuch to Philip is, well, all right, I understand, I accept. Here's a body of water as we're passing by. What is hindering me from being baptized? And so he heard the gospel. God had opened his heart, opened his eyes, awakened him to the truth, and he was one awakened and alive now. A heart of stone removed and a heart of flesh put in, and the love of God just reaching him. And so he sees the water. All right, let's do this now. And so, and maybe I throw this out to someone and say, we have baptism going on today, right? Here's water. What does stop us from following Christ? And so this is the response. So there's something significant in the presentation of Philip as he shares the gospel with this man that he would identify with water baptism. And so that's the first thing that we see as this story unfolds, is that it is a response to the gospel. It is a good response to the gospel. It is a proper response to the gospel. Have you followed Christ in baptism? And maybe I want to strongly encourage us today, for those that have yet to follow the Lord in baptism, what is stopping you from following Christ in baptism? There is a deeper union and connection with Christ to be had here, and so this represents a renewed heart. This represents the Spirit of God at work in you. This represents God's forgiveness of sins, His washing them away and bringing you to the newness of life, as Romans 6 said earlier. The second story is the baptism of Jesus. And so I hope that maybe the question pops up in your mind at some point when you read that story: why does Jesus need to be baptized? He's sinless. He's the sinless Son of God. He is the perfect one. He has no sin. There is no need for him to be cleansed or to follow in baptism in this way. And so Matthew 3 gives us this story, starting at verse 13. And before this, we have John, the wild man from the woods, eating locusts and honey. And if John were to walk into our churches today and preach a message to us, many of us would think John was a pretty bizarre and weird guy. But he was a fiery preacher. Right? He could proclaim the word of God and call people to repentance. In fact, John was often very bold and direct and maybe a bit offensive. Offensive to those that had rejected Christ as Messiah for their own desires and their own ways. And he calls kings and powers and empires to submit and bow the knee to the reign of Christ. Only Christ is king, not Caesar. Only Christ is ruler and the one that reigns and the one that is our Lord and Savior. Can I get an amen for that? There is no other way to the Father except Christ. There is no other way to heaven except the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is the only road, the only path, and John spoke this message very boldly, but John also knew that Jesus was coming. And so here are the footsteps of the Messiah as he's getting ready to make public his name and his ministry. At the age of 30 years old, a Jewish carpenter raised in Nazareth, a no one from a no-name town. And so as Jesus is approaching the banks of the Jordan, John with his little group and people gathered around, even religious teachers and Pharisees, here comes Jesus of Nazareth. And John sort of looks at him, makes mention of him, points Jesus out and says, "Here is one, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I can baptize you with water," as he looks back at the crowd, "but he can baptize you with the Holy Spirit. There is one that is preferred before me, that is mightier than I, that is stronger than me. I can take you to a certain point, and dear church, can I tell you, as your pastor, I can take you to a certain point, but it is you, your own heart, that must cling out and reach out to Christ and cling to him and know him as your own. Know him with a deep personal knowledge of intimate experience. This Christ is living and active and alive. He is not a story. He's not just a book. He's not just a set of programs or a set of doctrines to be studied. Dear church, he is the Lamb of God that takes away all our sins and the sins of the world." And so John essentially saying, you know, move out the way. Here comes the one who can baptize you. Here comes the one. And as he approaches John, Jesus said, "I'm going to be baptized by you." And John is saying, "Wait a minute, no, I have need to be baptized of you." Verse 13 of John, Matthew 3:13, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John, but John tried to deter him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' Jesus replied, 'Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness.' Then John consented." And so, the purpose of Jesus being baptized, we have a clue here that he wanted to fulfill all righteousness. Essentially, that he wanted to follow, that he wanted to be the lead for us to follow. And so you have this example laid down by Christ before he is to start his ministry as one that is baptized, as one that will submit to the ministry here of John in a way to be baptized, not for the forgiveness of sins, but that he could fulfill all righteousness. Then verse 16, "As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased.'" And so, listen, baptism candidates, all of you that will be baptized, I want to give you three quick things here from this story. So, Jesus was baptized, and he, with him, we are united and identified with Christ the Son. And so in baptism, you are united to him. And so with the declaration of the Father, the voice of the Father speaking over Jesus for all to hear, the Father rings out and says, a voice from heaven, "This is my Son whom I love, with I am well pleased." And I want to say to you, brothers and sisters, those that are being baptized, you are the sons and the daughters of God, and he is well pleased with you. And so you are united in Christ. This is not of your own doing. This is not your own righteousness or your own good works, but this is because you are united to Christ. And so the Father sees you. He sees His Son. He sees His daughter, and He does not condemn you nor cast you out. Dear brothers and sisters that have walked with God for a long time, listen, do not let the enemy of your faith and the enemy of your soul whisper lies to you and doubt the love of God for you. Dear brothers, dear sisters, the beloved of God gathered here, you are united to Christ. Therefore, He loves you. No condition. Deeply loves you. But you don't know what I did yesterday or last night or the week before. You don't know my past. You don't know my struggles. I don't need to know. God says this to you. I love you. You are my son and you are my daughter. That, dear church, is your core identity, a child of God. Amen? Not a pastor first. And not, the supervisor at work, not, so-and-so, not this person with this much in my bank account. None of that is your identification. Your identification is that you are a child of God. Everything else flows out of that. Also, we see in the baptism of Jesus, the Holy Spirit coming on Him. And then just after this, and if you read Matthew 4, right after He gets fresh out of the waters of baptism, the Holy Spirit leads Jesus to the wilderness to be tempted. It says, chapter 4, verse 1, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Dear brothers and sisters that will come into these baptismal waters, often you will, and maybe even immediately, you will be tested, your faith will be tried, and life will be hard. You will go through suffering. You will go through trial. And sometimes, we must say this, that God permits and allows it all to happen for the strengthening and the maturing process of your faith. If you go through life untested, unfazed, if you go through life living easy, then that, my dear friends, is not biblical Christianity. In some sense, you will experience suffering, persecution. You will experience disappointment. You will go through periods of doubt and struggle. But know this, be reminded of the Father's voice. He loves you, and He's leading you every step of the way. Jesus had to go this route. So too will those that are united with Him also travel this road. Your faith will not be without testing, but hold to the Lord. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, look to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. The good work that He started in you, He is faithful to bring it to completion. He's not going to leave you high and dry. He's not going to back away from you. He's going to be with you even in suffering. In fact, I would argue that Christ comes closer to you in the midst of suffering. So the Christian faith is not easy, but it is worth it. Why? Because Christ is our treasure. Christ is that beautiful. And if you hold on to Him and follow Him, your life is going to be an adventure. It'll be beautiful and glorious and joyful and painful. But, oh, it is worth it, dear believers. And so that leads us then to Romans 6. And I'll end here and just, let me just reread a couple of verses here from Romans 6. And this is through the Message translation. And CJ read the Message, and I thought it was so good, I just said, man, I need to read that again. And so listen to the language. If we've left the country where sin is sovereign, how can we still live in our old house? Or didn't you realize we packed up and left there for good? That is what happened in baptism. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind. When we came up out of the water, we entered into the new country of grace. A new life, a new land. This describes baptism. Could it be any clearer? Our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Christ, a decisive end to that sin-miserable life, no longer captive to sin's demands. What we believe is this: if we get included in Christ's sin-conquering death, we will also get included in His life-saving resurrection. Amen. Praise God. Can I get an amen? Praise God for this. And so we are going to now ask the baptism candidates to come up. And if someone hasn't already ran out there to get the kids back in, we want everyone to be a part of this. So we're going to ask them to pull Children's Church back in here. I told you I was going to try to be brief. And so if you guys can get ready, just kind of sit up toward the front. Jameel, I'm going to have you come on up. And so I've asked Jameel, and well, we've kind of collaborated together a little bit, but I've asked him to share just a snapshot of his testimony. And so we're going to hear a few minutes here from Jameel, and he has an amazing story. And if you've gotten to know him, maybe you've heard some of his story, but I'm excited for you to hear some of his story. You'll hear some even more from him even later down the road, but right now he's going to be one of our baptism candidates, and praise God for what God is doing in his heart. So, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Morning, church. I try to be as brief as possible, but I can't promise you that. How you all doing today? Good. So I'd like to start by saying, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. So first of all, I want to thank my dear friends and that came here from, some from Lima, some from Toledo, some from Florence. So, and I want to thank you all and welcome you all here. And I want to welcome the friends that are watching, the brothers and sisters that are watching online. I'd like to walk you through a small snippet of my life and how I came to know the Lord. So I grew up in a Shia Islamic tradition. Shia Muslims are around 10% of the Muslim population. 85% of the Muslims are Sunni Muslims. The rest of the 5% are smaller denominations. I come from the line of Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, by descent. So I was born in Baghdad, Iraq, lived there for 9 years. I lived in Amman, Jordan for 3 years before immigrating to the States when I was 12 years old. My family and I have two younger brothers. My mother and my father, we both landed in Detroit, Michigan because they have a large Arabic-speaking community. I completed middle school, high school, and college in Michigan, and I graduated with an engineering college degree. So I'm a little weird up here, so. Anyway, so in 2012, I received an internship offer from an energy company in Houston, Texas. I was there for 5 months. There I ran into Christians that are on fire for the Lord. Southern Baptist. I don't know if you ever ran into them before. They're on fire, so. Religion and politics were talked about in the open where I worked in Houston. My mentor, manager, and several of my coworkers were missionaries, or they were deep into their faith. I was invited to attend church, was introduced to the Bible for the first time, and this is the first Bible I bought back in 2012. So, still have it. How, unfortunately, I saw the invite to come to follow the Lord as an attack to my identity, to my character, and I took it in a negative way. And I had the conclusion in mind to say, you know what, Christianity is false. And guys, I'm going to prove it to you. So, and decided to build a case to prove my point. Of course, when you start with the conclusion in mind, you know, that everything else is going to follow. So I put together a 110-page document that satisfied my desire at the time. Few objections against Christianity that I had at the time was, we worship three gods. The Bible's corrupt. Paul founded Christianity and so forth. That's not true. That's what I came up with at the time. I was happy with the results, and I said, you know what? I'm going to close that chapter, the Christian chapter, and move on to study Islam. I was convinced at the time that Islam was the way of our Creator, and I studied Islam by watching seminary lectures and reading a ton of books. And this time, I summarized everything in 1,400 pages over a period of 10 years. So... So you thought 110 pages were ridiculous? 1,400. So anyway, so in March of 2024, I was invited to go to a conference by the name of Unshaken in Taylor, Michigan. It featured several credible speakers. The theme of the conference was cultural worldview versus biblical worldview. and how only a small percentage of Christians follow a biblical worldview. So, as I entered the sanctuary of the church, I felt something that changed the way I view things. Something just went past me. I didn't know what it was at the time. Now I know it's the Holy Spirit. So within 2 weeks, I started to doubt Islam. At that time, I was confused. Why am I doubting the faith that I believe in with all my heart to be the way of God? Then I ran into the first teaching that shook my foundation in chapter 4 of the Quran. I'm only going to share one teaching. There was actually 40 that I ran into, but I'm only going to share one. The Quran is made up of 114 chapters. Chapter 4 is titled The Woman. Chapter 4, verse 24 is the verse of concern I'm going to share with you. Chapter 4, verse 23, the verse prior, talks about the relationships you're not allowed to have as a male. You can't marry your mother, you can't marry your grandmother, your aunt, and so forth. Chapter 4, verse 24 starts with, you can't marry married woman except what your right hand possesses. So what does that mean? And Sunni Islam and Shia Islam is not just the Quran. It's not Quran only. You know, it's the Quran and the sayings of Muhammad and Sunni Islam, and is the saying of Muhammad and his 12 successors in Shia Islam. In Shia Islam, the tradition that I grew up in, the 12 successors and Muhammad, they're sinless and divinely appointed to be the representative of God on earth. So I don't know if you knew that. So I went to that literature to see what Muhammad and his 12 successors said. And this is the part that just broke the foundation. I found out that if you own a male slave as a male and a female slave and they're married to each other, you can separate them at any time for any reason and take the female slave to yourself. So I saw that. That's awful. Why would the loving God allow this to happen? So I couldn't believe what I was reading. How would I feel if that was my mother, my aunt, my cousin, my sister, my friend, a stranger? So if I don't want it to happen to me, why am I okay believing in it happening to someone else? So I tried my best to find context against that didn't go against my moral compass, but couldn't find one. It is clear sexual immorality, and I hate to use that word, but I couldn't find anything to justify it. Of course, my philosophy to understand any verse, to be fair to the text, is to go to the verse itself, to go to Muhammad and his 12 successors, what they said from reliable tradition, and what scholars said. Because I said, you know what? Maybe my Arabic is limited. I finished first grade to sixth grade in the Middle East. Maybe I misunderstood it. So I go to grand scholars, and the grand scholars confirmed what I found. So the example I mentioned earlier is one out of 40 that eventually led me to leave Islam. I walked away from Islam about a year ago. And again, you don't just get up one day and say, you know what, I'm done with Islam, I'm walking away. It doesn't work that way. It's a slow, lingering process, and that is painful. At the same time, in March of 2024, I started to study Christianity as well. So I was studying Islam and Christianity simultaneously. But this time I was studying it to say, hey, what if it is God's word? Initially it was Christianity is false, let me build the case against it. This time, what if it is God's word? I studied the resurrection, reliability of the gospels, divinity of Christ, Old Testament, and many other topics. I was spending hundreds of hours studying both Islam and Christianity, and many hours discussing them with friends, brothers and sisters in 2024. It was an obsession. I was obsessed. My evenings, my weekends, you know, it was, let me study Christianity, let me study Islam, because I was in spiritual pain. So after I left Islam, I was in limbo, in no man's land, in spiritual darkness. Because after I left Islam, it wasn't, let me leave Islam, start following Christ. I was 6 months into blindness. I believed there was a creator, but I didn't believe in anything. I just believed there's a God. Of course, I wasn't an agnostic. I didn't believe religion or faith. It's false. I believe there is a way to that creator. At that time, I wanted to stay sleeping to avoid facing the struggle. As a Muslim, leaving Islam dishonors someone's family, and it brings shame to the family. Making matters worse, I'm a descendant of Muhammad, and thus seen as an honorary state, similar to the Jews who take pride that they physically come from the line of Isaac. So a similar mindset in the Muslim world. Fast forward 6 months, you know, in February 28, 2025, which that's why I like the number 28. I'm getting baptized on September 28th, and maybe potentially giving the whole testimony on December 28th. I made the confession of faith on February 28, 2025 of this year. So, yeah. Yeah. Thank you. And of course, that is with the help of a lot of people in my life. I'll run out of ink, to be honest with you, to thank the amount of people that helped me in this journey. Took a lot of hours of studying, many hours of discussions, but most important, it wasn't the knowledge or the discussions that made me to come to follow Christ. It was the encounters with the Holy Spirit that convinced me of the truth multiple times. There are many non-believing biblical scholars, believe it or not. So knowledge alone, as you can see, is not sufficient. I like to end by reciting 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. I like to say without a shadow of a doubt that life without Christ is meaningless. I always wanted to say this in front of a church. I'm going to say it in three languages. In Greek, Koine Greek, Arabic, and English. I'm going to keep you guessing because I'm going to say in the other languages first. Christos anesti, el Mesihu qam, Christ is risen, risen indeed. I want to thank you all for listening. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Amen. So, thank you.
Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you, Jamil. All right. What a wonderful snapshot of a life changed by grace and changed by the Holy Spirit. And so we were going to go ahead and get the candidates up and ready. And so what I'm going to do, if I could have you go ahead and just stand at the front. So all of you that will be baptized, just kind of stand up here, face the congregation. And so if you can kind of stand up here in a line, face the congregation. And I'm going to recite or read you some ancient vows of baptism. And brothers and sisters, Alexander, Hadassah, Kanaya, if you'd come up here, please. Thank you. So we have five total. And just so I get their names correct, you guys, yeah, just face the congregation. We have Jamil right here. Give him a hand. And we have Kanaya right here. We have Alexander. Hadassah. And Jans Alexander. Yeah. All right, I'm going to give you guys some vows, and so I'm going to ask you a set of questions really quickly, and you'll just answer, I do. All right? And so you'll all answer together. You'll answer, I do, and then at a certain point, I will turn it on the congregation, and when I ask you the question, you will answer, we will, okay? And so after these vows, we'll take them one by one. We'll do the baptisms, and you're free to take pictures. If you need to move up front, there's some seats up front. That'd be fine, friends, family, if you want to do that. And we'll do the baptisms one by one. You guys will exit. There's towels here. You guys will exit right here through the side door, and there's a small room there. You can kind of dry off if you need to, and then pass out the door, exit door, and around to the front, and you'll go to the lobby, and you can get changed in one of the bathrooms there. Okay, so here we go. These are ancient vows that come from the Book of Common Prayer, and I thought it was appropriate for today. And so, you may have heard this, maybe not, but it goes like this. First question, are you guys listening? Are we ready? First question, do you renounce the devil and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God? I do. Do you renounce the empty promises and deadly deceits of the world that corrupt and destroy the creatures of God? You answer? I do. Do you renounce the sinful desires of the flesh that draw you from the love of God? I do. Almighty God, deliver you from the powers of darkness and evil and lead you into the light and obedience of the kingdom of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Do you turn to Jesus Christ and confess Him as your Lord and Savior? You answer. Do you joyfully receive the Christian faith as revealed in Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testament? And the last question you will answer, I will, the Lord being my helper, okay? Will you obediently keep God's holy will and commandments and walk in them all the days of your life? I will, the Lord being my helper. Amen. All right. Now, congregation, you remember your own baptism, and so I'm going to throw this question at you as it pertains to the discipleship of these new followers of Christ. Will you, dear congregation, who witness these vows, do all in your power to support these persons and their life in Christ? We answer, we will. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. And so, now at this time, I'm going to ask, if you guys don't want your shoes and socks to get wet, take them off. And who will be my first? Probably need to do it really quickly, okay? Really quickly, okay? All right. You'll be the first? Okay, come on, can I? All right. And so I've asked the team here to lead us in a song as we will do these baptisms. And you'll get to hear their own profession. And so let me help you down here, can I? Be careful. Tight squeeze. If you fall, I'll catch you, okay? All right. Down. Is it cold? You good? All right. All right. So this is young Kanaya. They're a family. So we have Kanaya, Hadassah, and Alexander, and Martin and Alfred back here as their parents. So blessed family that has come to us recently. All right, Kanaya. I'm going to ask you a couple questions. Yeah, give them a hand. Give them a hand. He came back from Camp Bagomi and said, I've accepted the Lord into my heart. I want to get baptized. Amen. Can we do it? Amen. He said, yes, we can do it. Amen. And so I'm going to ask you a couple questions, and you just answer yes, okay? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins? Yes. And do you believe that He rose from the grave?
Yes.
And you have accepted Him as Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Okay. And so I'm going to ask you to hold your nose with one hand. There you go. And then you can grab your wrist like this. There you go. And so upon your profession of faith, I now baptize you, Kanaya, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 There you go. There's towels right there, buddy.
I've been set free.
Amen. Amen.
His mercy reigns.
Yeah, I want to real quick. I didn't say this, but really quick. When they come up, you guys did a great job. I want you to just go crazy, right?
Yeah.
Cheer for them loudly.
Woo.
This is a celebration.
Amen.
Are the angels in heaven rejoice?
Yes.
And so
Hallelujah.
We rejoice too.
Hallelujah.
All right. It's cold. I know. I'm sorry. We have a heater, but evidently it's not working too good. All right, so this is Hadassah, and so we are thankful. This is Kanaya's sister, Alexander's sister, and this family, like I said, have been a blessing. And so Hadassah, likewise, is following the Lord, is committed to living her life as a Christian, and so we're thankful for that. All right, I'm going to ask you the same thing, okay? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins? Do you believe that He rose from the grave, and you've accepted Him as Lord and Savior? All right, So plug your nose, hold your wrist there with your other hand, and there you go. Now upon your profession of faith, Hadassah, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Caleb. I just want to say to this whole family, it is a privilege to be a small part of your journey and to watch them just grow closer to the Lord and to watch them ask good questions, to walk through struggles with them. It's been a true joy and a true privilege of mine as being a pastor here. So thank you, Alexander, for letting me be your friend and let me help you along the way, all right? So I'm going to ask you the same questions. So do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins? Do you believe that he rose from the grave?
Yes, I do.
I like this confidence.
Amen.
And have you accepted him in your heart as Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Amen. All right, I'm going to ask you to hold your nose there. Grab your wrist with your other hand. All right. Alexander, upon your profession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God. Praise God. Amen. Wonderful. Praise God.
All right.
You're next. Praise God. Praise God. Can I just say really quickly, this is Jans. For those that have not got to know him, he's a wonderful guy. And the Lord is working in his heart and has been for some time. We moved here a year and a half ago, and Jans and Courtney were the first ones we got to connect with. And I had many, many hours sitting with a coffee shop with Jans, speaking about Christ, learning about God's Word, growing in faith together, asking a lot of hard questions and walking together through life. And it has been a privilege to have him as my neighbor and one of my best friends. And so I'm thankful for what God is doing in your life. And I count it a privilege and a joy to be with you today and to take part in this. And so, Jans, it is my privilege to ask you, do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins?
Absolutely.
Do you believe that he rose from the grave?
I do.
And have you accepted him into your heart as Lord and Savior? All right. Praise God, brother.
Praise
I'm going to ask
God.
You to hold on to your nose there. Grab your wrist with your other hand. And so, Jans, it is my pleasure to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hallelujah. Woo!
Praise God. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. It's all right, church, to worship. It's all right to worship. Amen. Amen. Praise God, my brother. Come on. It's cold. It's cold. Praise God, brother. Praise God for you. Amen. 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 You've met Jamil. You've heard a snapshot of his story. There's much more to it. That he'll get an opportunity to share it at a later date. But we are so grateful. He described it best. It is not any certain truth that convinced him. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. And I have seen that at work in him. And so I'm so thankful, Jamil, to be your friend. I told him the first day I met him that I counted a privilege that God has sent him our way. And we all get to be part of his journey of faith. And it is incredibly humbling, joyful, and just we're so grateful, brother. Thank you so much. So may God bless you in your life. I'm going to ask you the same questions. I don't know if he's shivering because of the Holy Spirit or the cold water, but nonetheless. And so I'm going to ask you, do you believe that Christ died for your sins?
Yes.
Do you believe that he rose from the grave?
Yes.
And you've accepted him into your heart as Lord and Savior?
Absolutely.
All right. Go ahead and cover up there. Grab your wrist. And so, Jamil, upon your profession of faith, I now joyfully baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Give it up. Amen. Amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, amen, amen, thank you Lord, thank you Lord. Give it up guys, come on, give it up. Praise God. I'm going to have him just sing that again. You've got another song, right? So, and I have them sing. Come and say hello. Come and greet them. You guys greet one another. Say hello. Pass the peace of Christ and let's be the church. And then we have some refreshments in the back. All right. Blessings. Blessings.